I firmly believe and know and have seen and experienced that everybody has something to bring to the table, something to offer the world.
You're listening to the Nick Vujicic Podcast, the place where you will be coached in how to turn your obstacles into opportunities, inspired to dream big, and challenged to never give up. Now here's our host, New York Times best-selling author, speaker, and entrepreneur, Nick Vujicic.
Well, hello, everyone. I'm most excited to be in the presence of someone of greatness, someone who has inspired me. Her name is Jen Bricker. Her story will absolutely blow your mind, and I'm so thankful to be sharing with each and every one of you people that have inspired me, maybe some people that you have known about, or maybe you're going to just about to discover people like Jen Bricker and how she can challenge all of us to know that everything is possible. Before we get into today's interview, I want to thank my friends and partners at Storyville Coffee. If any of you are watching from the US and you are a coffee snob like me and you only drink the best coffee, check out right now StoryvilleCoffee.com. Sorry, Storyville.com/Nick. That's right. I have a promo code that you can enter. Believe it or not, even in this quarantine moment, who doesn't want fresh coffee delivered to your door? We got whole beans, espresso, and K-cups that can be delivered to you. It is not only the best K-cup and espresso and whole bean that you'll ever have, but they actually, Here we go. Clap one more time. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to this beautiful opportunity where I get to introduce to you someone who inspires me. Today, it's going to be Jen Bricker, and I'm so glad that you're joining us here. Before we get into today's interview, I wanted to thank my friends and partners at Storyville Coffee. If you're a coffee snob like me and you live in America, check it out. You can right now enter the promo code Nick into Nick's favorite coffee. No joke, I've been drinking Storyville Coffee for many years. Not only does it get delivered to my door and there's Nespresso and K-cups, but every time I'm drinking my cup of coffee or multiple cups a day, I'm actually knowing that I am someone's reason for someone else's freedom. Storyville Coffee donates part of their profits towards organizations that stand against human trafficking worldwide in Seattle, Washington. They have a couple stores in Seattle. If you haven't checked out Storyville Coffee, check it out right now. And you, as my listener, get a 50% off discount using the promo code to subscribe today. Go to Storyville.com/Nick and enter N-I-C-K there for your discount. Thank you, Storyville, for making a positive difference in this world against human trafficking and making the best cup of coffee I've ever had. Today, I am joined here all the way from Austria, Jen Bricker. How are you?
Good. Thank you for having me.
It is awesome to have you. Jen, we met, I would say, around 5 years ago, and it's been an incredible journey just seeing you and your story become known to many, many people, millions of people. Jen, you're a speaker, you're an author. There is so much to you that I want to share how you've inspired me, how you have challenged me to dream even bigger. And you are an incredible woman who, to me, I can call as a friend. And thank you for your love, Jen. Thanks for joining us here today.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Nick. That's an honor. Thank you.
Tell us why you're in Austria. First of all, this is such an incredible story of just, first of all, the greatest dream of one of the dreams that you've had accomplished and the ways that your heart's been fulfilled. Tell everyone what happened last year, Jen. Tell us the good news.
Yeah. So I got married last year in July. Ooh. Yes. And my husband is Austrian. So it's just the crazy, but yet the total way that my life has always been. So I guess it's normal for my life. And I had friends over here in Austria that I met in like 3 years ago, actually, at the LA Fit Expo. And I'm always in like fitness events and stuff. And so long story short, I became friends with this Austrian couple, came to Austria for the first time. They invited me here and we became really good friends. They come to LA every year and they organized a small tour for me in 2018. And my book is in different languages and one of them is German. So we were doing a little speaking tour with book signings. And that's where I met my husband, actually, in one of the smallest middle of nowhere events, actually, that I was speaking at, which is so funny. And then I kind of fast forwarded to messages and video and voice messages. And then he flew to LA and back and forth we went. And then it was very quick, actually. And then he proposed and then we got married and it was all like boom, boom, boom.
And amazing.
Yeah. So just been temporarily waiting over here until his green card comes in and we're in the home stretch. We're in the final, just final months of the green card, of him getting his green card. So that's cool. And then we'll be back in LA and living there until God calls us somewhere else. So it's been, we've been speaking together and actually performing together too, a little bit. So he plays trombone professionally and I do my aerial silks. And we started combining that whole situation and then also speaking together. I didn't know until we got married that he was a good speaker.
So, that's awesome.
We were in the Philippines for almost a month on our honeymoon / mission trip. So we did this whole tour for a month about with this company, True Love Waits. And we were talking about purity and purpose. And we spoke at one church and there was 10,000 people. And, you know, I've done that for many years. And then I stopped and I was like, wait a minute, before we went out. And I was like, are you okay? Because he's not done this before. And, you know, you would have thought he had been doing it as long as I had. And I was, that's when I first started realizing. And then he had such a heart for kids and such a and it just very interesting.
I wanted to start there because in a sense, I want everyone to understand that you guys are going to be, and already are, but I feel so excited for you guys because I know you're going to be such a powerhouse couple to inspire people. Look, Jen, we know that the camera can only show so much. I want to start, if you don't mind, now to the beginning of your story. For those who haven't heard of Jen Bricker, let me just tell you, the front cover of her book, Everything is Possible, is the best front cover of any book in the world. Honestly, you've got Jen Bricker doing this handstand, but it's not just this handstand, it's arching the rest of her body without legs. She was born without legs in this incredible way that it seems impossible. And it's like, wait a second, how could she do that? But obviously we understand, Jed, that it's a way more a layered story of how you became who you are. Being born without limbs is one thing, but to me, I look at you and your story and I personally am humbled to have this opportunity because you get to speak to a whole new crowd of people directly, specifically for people who have either been adopted or fostered, in the world. You know, sometimes we all go through rejection, isolation, wondering why things have happened the way that they had. And so not only were you born without legs, but tell us the story starting in Romania when you were born.
Yeah, so actually I was born in the States. A lot of people think I was born in Romania, but my biological family is from Romania and then moved to the US and then I was put up for adoption here. So put up for adoption, born without legs, and they left me in the hospital. And then I was in a foster home for 3 months. And my parents in the middle of nowhere, Illinois, small farm town, country, cornfield. And my mom always wanted a baby girl. She always wanted 4 kids. And then she had 3 boys and couldn't have kids anymore. So it was like in her bones. She just knew that she was supposed to have 4 kids and she wanted a baby girl. So for 10 years, literally, didn't give up the praying and the belief and the hope and the faith that she would somehow, some way find a baby girl. And then one day, her friend was also looking to adopt, and she heard about this baby girl born with no legs, and she told my mom. And it was like immediate. I mean, it's funny, we laugh about it, but I don't know. It's like, oh, baby girl born with no legs. Oh, yep, she's mine. I mean, it was like that. She just, I don't know. It was just like a spiritual thing, I guess, because she didn't even see a picture. She didn't even see a picture. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and then she talks to my dad and he gets like three words out, you know, and like they call the social worker and the social worker said, you know, take the weekend, talk to your boys. My brothers were 10, 12, 14 years old at the time. And they kind of asked them how they would feel about having a sister with no legs and, you know, all these real life situations. And everybody was on board. You know, my brothers individually said, if they have a problem with her, people, friends, anybody, then I don't want them in my life anyway.
Wow.
10, 12, and 14 years old.
Wow.
Teenage boys. Like, that's just God. I mean, what else can that be? You know?
Absolutely amazing. And what age was it that you realized the reality, and how did you brace yourself during that time? Was it that you had feelings, or they told you straight up, this is how you came into our life beautifully?
Yeah, no, they were honest from as beginning as I can remember. So I think they like laid it to me straight from, I don't know, it had to be 4 or 5 years old, because I always remember knowing. I always knew in my memory that I was adopted. And they said it in such a straightforward but also creative way. So my mom said something like, you know, my tummy was broken, so someone else had to carry you in their tummy until we could get you. But we were supposed to have you. We prayed for you. You were our answered prayer and our miracle. And so, you know, yeah, your biological parents, there's a probably really high chance that one of the reasons they gave you up for adoption was because you didn't have legs. And they said, but you have to understand, this is a very different culture, absolutely different. They would have lived in communism. The whole mentality about people with no legs in that kind of mindset, totally different. And they said these things to me as a kid. And I think that was the best thing they could have ever done, because it gave this freedom. It took away basically any reason to have a chip on my shoulder. And then they said, you know, to further that, you know, and you don't have to hate them, because whatever the reason of why they gave you up, it does irrelevant, because you were supposed to be with us. Like, this is how God's plan was. And they were so matter of fact, they believed it. So it wasn't like they tried to make it sound cute so I, you know, would believe it, or just to make kind of make sense out of some bad situation. No, they really honestly believed that. And I think that was, I mean, yeah, they're awesome.
That's awesome. Amazing. Did you have any thoughts and times in your life as your childhood or teenage, early years at all, about the thoughts that you may have had with struggles, about the thoughts of your biological family and that whole situation? Did you feel any rejection? Did you feel any difficult times through that?
There wasn't really many. I think I'm sure I asked questions when I was younger, you know, really young. And then I just remember I felt satisfied because there was so much information that my parents told me. I knew my biological family was from Romania. I knew that they probably gave me up for adoption because I didn't have legs. I knew that, like, there was so much that I knew that it was like I was really at peace. I really, most of my older childhood that I would remember more, I never really had too much of a desire to go find them or anything. You know, it wasn't in my head. I do remember one, like, you know, at school when you do like the family tree stuff, or the, you know, the widow's peak or the hitchhiker's thumb. And, you know, I could never do those things because I didn't have any biological DNA family members. Or sometimes when my brothers were much older and they had kids, and they would look exactly like them. Oh my gosh, they look so much like you. Or they look, you know, and my mom said, yeah, I remember, like, I could tell that you would never say anything, but it kind of bothered you, you know, that no one looked like you. And, you know, so those things were there, but they weren't overwhelming, but they were there. Yeah.
It sounds to me like you were really encouraged with the love in your family, where it was just overwhelming love, overwhelming affirmation. Man, incredible family that you were brought up in. Amazing family. I'm curious, actually, is your mom still alive?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Good. That's awesome. Well, hi, Mom. I'm Jen Bricker. And the family, I just, you know, to me, it's parents like yours that really are heroes, and for people to understand that, you know, we all go through times of difficulty and challenge, but love, to me, in my experience, in the home for ourselves, then, and believing in a greater purpose and hope through faith. Is all we need, and you're absolute proof of that. Tell us about your passion that you then started doing and watching the Olympics. What is up with this part of the story? This is just, when I heard this for the first time, my jaw was on the floor. Tell our listeners right now what happened and where did that passion come from? Tell us that story. And
well, I incredible always surprise. Make a joke that I always make the joke that I just came out an athlete, because I kind of did, basically. I don't know. I always loved sports. I loved being outside. I was like the little monkey. I still am. And so I loved all sports. I played softball, basketball, volleyball. And they were, every sport was against able-bodied athletes, because I didn't even know that term, able-bodied, until I was like in my 20s, you know? I was so out of touch with the political correctness world or disability world. I mean, where I grew up, this is the middle of nowhere. I didn't even know anybody who was disabled or handicapped or anything, not ever, until I was, I think, 19 years old and moved to Florida, you know? So, I mean, this was, you have to understand how I grew up and the sports that I was in. I thought, well, why wouldn't I play with everybody else? Just absolutely made no sense to me. Didn't even consider. I didn't even know there was another option. Didn't even, like, well, why would I be in that group? I mean, it's funny to say it now, but that's how my younger, you know, how I thought when I was younger. So then I saw, I loved gymnastics. And I started beginner tumbling classes. Tumbling is like the section of gymnastics where they're on the floor and they're flipping and twisting. So because I was from such a small town, we didn't have actual gymnastics clubs close enough for me to go weekly. So power tumbling was very huge, especially in the Midwest. And power tumbling is, so instead of a square floor, it's a long runway, like, and you do back handsprings and twists and flips and all kinds of stuff.
You'll have to teach me one day how to do it.
Yeah. Totally. And I was totally into it. This became quickly my favorite sport. And about the same time I started these beginner classes, I saw on TV this during, right before the 96 Olympics, and then of course watching the 96 Olympics. And there was this girl on the team, Dominique Moceanu. And I knew that her family was Romanian, but she was on Team USA. So she was American, but Romanian, you know? And so first I loved that because I knew I was Romanian and nobody else where I grew up was like that. And I thought we looked so much alike. And that also was really cool for me, you know? And I literally said things verbatim as a kid. I said to my parents sitting in the living room, oh, we look so much alike. Don't we look, what if we were sisters? What if we were related? You know, but I mean, whatever, I just was a kid, I said that, you know? And then, yeah. And then fast forward to almost 16 years old, and I found out that Dominique was my full-blooded biological sister.
Wow. Wow, wow, wow. Come on, like that, when I first heard that, like, what? So How did you find that out?
Yeah, my friend, she was adopted also, and she had for some reason found out what her biological last name would have been. I don't even know. And I told you, up until that point, I was never really curious about finding my biological family. I don't know, wasn't a thing really. And then all of a sudden, all at once, I was like, I wonder what my biological last name would have been. And it was like immediate. And I went home and I asked my mom, this is a total God thing, because they were so open and so honest about everything my whole life from the beginning. Why would I think that there was something they knew about my biological family that they didn't tell me? Why would I even think that? It's not even in alignment with anything. And yet I went home and asked, hey, is there anything you know about my biological family that I don't know about? Why would I ask that? And so I'm for sure not even, I don't even know why I asked it. And I'm definitely not expecting any kind of response, you know, not like a yes or anything. And then she says yes. And I'm like, no, you don't know anything. What do you mean you know something about, you don't know anything? How can you know something about my family? This is like, no way do you. And she's like, well, I mean, you're never going to believe this, you know, but, and she puts this huge envelope, you know, with all the papers, the manila envelopes, the big brown ones. It's got all these old papers that have turned yellow at the end. She puts it on the table and she's like, well, your biological last name would have been Mochianu. And I was like,
whoa.
Because immediately, exactly from A to B, I knew what that meant. Immediate. Because it's such a unique last name. And I mean, I was in shock, obviously. And then I was excited. And then I was in shock. And then I was excited. Yeah.
That's awesome. And how was it meeting your biological sister?
So I have two sisters. So in that process, I found out that I had a younger sister also that looked like my twin. My twin with legs. And so then we all, I'll fast forward several years, but we all finally met in 2008 for the first time in Ohio, where my sister's living. And it was, on one hand, surreal and kind of like so much to process that your brain just kind of glitches, you know? And then on the other hand, it was like, yeah, these are my sisters. Yeah, I get that. We look so much alike. There was just this automatic thing also. So it was natural in one way and also totally surreal at the same time.
Amazing. Amazing. Yeah. And so tell us, how old were you at that time?
I was
approximately
20.
Awesome. And you're a speaker, you're an author. Many people know who you are. And I could just imagine that people have already come to you and said, hey, you should do a movie about, you know, your life story. I'll be watching that film when that comes out.
thank you.
But I think your story is one of the most inspiring and just incredibly beautiful story. And I want you to, though, now shift gears a little bit. I feel like everyone in their life is looking for, what is my purpose? Mm-hmm. What is it that I am to do here on earth? And between you and competing in tumbling and then shifting towards being a speaker and an author, would love to know that part of the journey to share.
Yeah. So I stopped competing in my preteens, you know, early teens, and then didn't do any sports for like 5 years through high school and everything. Got a little chunky, got out of shape, you know, and then moved to Florida, Orlando, Florida, started working at Disney World on an internship, met my old partner, performing partner, and that it started with the acrobatic and aerial performing. So that's how this whole, that was the beginning. And so we had a duo trampoline act. So the rectangle trampoline professional ones where you go really, really high. And nobody wanted to hire me. No one like me had ever done anything in the entertainment world like that. So it made people it made people worried that it would make people uncomfortable. An audience seeing someone like me, and I had all these skills and I was actually really good, you know, not like in a a prideful way, just like because I had a background already, I was trained, had a basic of flipping and tumbling and air awareness, and had a passion for it. So started learning how to do silks, that I had to learn totally new. And then we had this dynamic trampoline act, super hard difficulty and really dynamic. And then we got on tour with Britney Spears, you know, which was like, no one forever wanted to hire us for anything. And then it was the highest grossing tour in the world as a featured act, touring all over North America and Australia. And I mean, this was at the end of 2009. I did like 40 shows with her. And then that changed everything. It went from no one wanting to hire me or us to everybody. You know, everyone was, we performed in Madison Square Garden 3 times, Staples Center. Some audiences were 20,000 people. And I was so new. I was so green. I had not even been in the entertainment industry 2 years. And then I was thrown into this like once in a lifetime for a performer anyway, event situation. And it was such high stress and so much pressure. And one wrong mistake and my career is over before it started, because everybody was worried anyway, you know? And it was just immense, immense pressure. And thankfully I got through the fire and came out like, man, I said, after that, there's nothing I can't do anymore. Like nothing will be as intimidating as that. If I can do that, I can do anything. And then he and I separated at the very end of 2011. And then I started doing solo aerial performing, and that's when speaking also. So we started speaking together in 2010. He and I started, we had like this, basically our whole show. So we did individual acts, duo performances, and then peppered through with speeches. So it was like an hour and a half with an intermission kind of a show. So we had started dabbling in that. And I was on TV a lot as a kid and did sport, you know, so it really started when I was a kid more so. But then that led into speaking. And then it was, you know, little speeches, regional, smaller audiences, then bigger. Then, I mean, it was pretty fast still. But and then it went international and totally speaking everywhere. Then the book came out end of 2016. And it's in all these languages now and all over the world. It's wild. And New York Times bestseller, which is, that's great. But to me, I actually... I'm more impressed by the languages than that, if I'm being honest.
It's awesome.
For me, it's more cool. But yeah, so that's kind of, that was the evolution. So I then now still do, it's like God created this gen package. You know, it wasn't my plan. I didn't want to be a speaker until I was like old and retired. Didn't want it, fought it, ran from it. God had to like, you know, this was not what I didn't want to do it. I thought that I would just be traipsing around the world, performing with my acrobat and aerial people. I loved them. That's where I loved it, you know? And then when I retired later in my mid 40s or something, that's when I thought I would write a book and speak. And God was like, nope, it's going to come 20 years before you thought. You know, and I rejected it for so long. I had totally the wrong attitude, the wrong perspective. I was being such a pain in the butt about it, you know? And I took a long time to get the right perspective, to be grateful to be a speaker. And of course that was years ago, but yeah.
That's amazing. Thank you for sharing all that. As those things were happening, I know as a speaker, there are just some people that come up to you later and look you in the eye, and it's as if they're seeing your soul and you're seeing theirs. And there are some people who share about how their life has been somehow transformed deeply by your story. Was there a moment or a story or obviously the Britney Spears, I watched that video of that one crazy viral video of you do, and it's true, guys, when you're trying to do what Jen does, one little bad move, literally, I was just trying to climb steps on the Oprah Winfrey masterclass or life class thing. And I'm like, man, how bad is it going to be if a limbless man now trying to do this illustrative thing, going up the steps, if I just fall, they're going to be, oh, and then it's done. It's like, that's it. It's done. I had a pressure, you know, with no bobs, like just to jump a step. And you, oh my gosh, if you see what's going on, what she does with or without a partner, it's like, wait, what? Did I just see what I saw? And so I could just imagine that pressure. And it's true what you said and the magnitude of that. But what time was it in your life or person or experience or interaction with someone where you're like, wow, like I did what I could, but I never had this feeling that actually someone's life would be transformed. Did you ever feel that that's what's going to happen in your life? Tell me that part. Where's Jen on that?
Yeah, I knew that when I was a kid, like smaller than you would think would be normal to know something. I knew God had huge plans for me, and I knew he wanted to change the world through my life. But that doesn't mean that when things start happening, I mean, even though I knew that as a kid, then you get older, you have fun, and I was performing, and it's different. So it's a totally different high and a totally different beast than speaking. And two very different types of people also, you know? So I'm kind of in these two very, very different worlds. Yet you're both on a stage, but in a very different way. So when people, it is the most humbling. It blows me away because, you know, you think of yourself as yourself and you know all the things about yourself and the annoying things and the good things and the all of it as a whole. And one time I was speaking at a black belt karate ceremony, you know? Yeah. And afterwards, this older man, he had been waiting there and people were taking pictures and then he waited his turn and he came up and he just fell like into my arms and he was sobbing. And you could tell he was a proud man. So he hated the fact that he was embarrassed that he was crying, but he couldn't, the whole situation was so overwhelming for me. And he just got a couple words out that he was a Holocaust survivor.
Wow.
And I was like, and he was telling me that I had an effect in his life. I was like, then I was crying. I mean, I don't like to cry in front of people either, especially then, you know, but it was like the whole world just paused for a minute and how can just me talking have an effect on someone who went through, I couldn't even imagine, you know, you can't compare my life to that, no way. And that was profound. That was like, whoa. And still, there's a disconnect still, you know?
Right, right. Yeah. I want you to help connect our audience real quick in their mind. They think that they don't have a story. What do you say to somebody that comes up to you and says, I don't have a story?
Yeah, huge thing for me, you know, huge subject. I'm all about purpose and that everyone has, because we all have gifts and talents that God gave us. We all have things we're passionate about. And yeah, they're different. Absolutely. I mean, they're just, not everybody is going to be a person traveling the world. Not everybody will be a missionary. Not everybody will be, you know, it just, that's how it is. But it, you know, God says that, you know, I love the analogy of how he uses the hands and the nose and the feet to complete one body. And one function has no less equality or value than the other. I love that because I think everybody can get that and relate to that. And so I firmly believe and know and have seen and experienced that everybody has something to bring to the table, something to offer the world. But you have to believe that. So that's the other part of it. It's what you believe in. It's what you accept. It's what you don't accept. And so through these things that we love, that we're naturally good at, and that we enjoy also, I mean, that's the home run. That's the like, okay, so I can do what I love. And it might be that you're good at listening. I don't know. Maybe you're good at math. Maybe you're a math teacher. Maybe you play piano. It's not always an over-the-top thing. But there's so much value in it. Because if you take that, run with it, and allow God to run with it, then, I mean, you can change, you can change people's lives, and that's meant for everyone. That's not meant for just like one person or certain elect chosen few. No, that's made for everybody.
Everyone. I love that. I love that. And just to everyone watching and listening, Jen would agree with me 100%. We in life cannot go through alone. And it took Jen's family. It took friends. It took teachers. It took different people in her life to encourage her along the way. And I just want to echo everything that you said, Jen, that we all have a story and we also play the part of everyone else's story. And sometimes we don't get to see what the effect is and the fruit of just friendship, of love, of encouragement along the way. Thank you for sharing that. Jen, what is the next 10 years looking like for your life? What are you now hoping for? And you're hitting home runs all day. You're now married. You're living in Austria, coming back to the United States. Tell us what do you envision in the next 10 to 15 years of your life?
Yeah. Like you mentioned earlier, I want to have a movie definitely one day about my life, possibly more books. And I don't want to stop performing anytime soon. Don't want to stop speaking. I love traveling the world. And I like doing that together with Dominic. That's something I always, before I knew who I would marry, I always knew that we would do it together. I didn't know what he would do. I didn't know what we would do together exactly. But it's interesting because that's just kind of what's happening. So in different ways, very different ways. And then kids, you know, eventually kids, definitely. And yeah, that's kind of, I'm sure there will be many, many things that I have zero that I cannot predict. There's some things like just in my life that I want to do, you know, I want to perform or commentate one day or both at an Olympic ceremony. That was always on my bucket list. There's things that certain artists or, you know, just kind of when I was on tour with Britney Spears, that was a totally different time. But there's certain people that it would be cool to maybe do specialized performances with, Ariel and singing. And then there's, you know, just certain things in life that I kind of want to do like that and dabble maybe into fashion one day and team up with like an Under Armour and do campaigns and things that utilizing what God gave me as my strengths and my passions, but to, you know, reach even more of the world through different mediums.
Incredible, incredible. Well, I wish you all the very, very best with all that. I actually, just this last couple of weeks, I thought that I'd never be thinking about a documentary or a movie about my life till older in life. And it seems as though, you know, that may be on the card. So I want to hook you up with some friends of mine. And just if you, you know, if you feel the time's right, I could definitely see a movie, a documentary, the whole thing, to inspire millions and millions of more people around the world. I always ask my interview guests three questions at the end. Number one, what are you most thankful for, Jen Bricker?
Well, I'm most thankful for my faith in Jesus and my family. Not to sound like a total cheesy answer, but all things have sprung from those two things. Everything. Character, the way I think, the way I get through life, the way I problem solve, all of that.
Hey, I love that. I need to apologize. What's your new last name?
Brickerbauer.
Brickerbauer. Awesome. Good. Okay, Jen Brickerbauer. Second question. Love that answer. What was your biggest obstacle, you would have to say, that brought your biggest opportunity in your life?
Oh, well, there's a couple, I would say, but a huge obstacle I had was when I was like in my mid-20s and I was really dealing with body image and not about not having legs, actually, ironically enough, but being a woman, being in the entertainment industry, wanting to be thin, wanting my body to be perfect, getting thin, then getting too thin, then never being enough, looking in the mirror, total body dysmorphia, not seeing, you know, it was just this, it was the lowest of the low of the low. And that was, and the recovery coming out of that, I think was even harder than dealing with. It was just, the whole situation was like, very, very, very difficult. And coming out of that, though, it's amazing how God does that, but it allowed this understanding to speak to so many other people. It's like every woman deals with this stuff, you know, to a degree. I can't say every woman, but high percentage. And it gave me such opportunities to really relate. And it opened up friendships. It opened up conversations. Forever. Yeah.
That's awesome. And if you could give 3 points to leave with everyone here, what would you encourage our listeners and viewers with?
Well, I brushed a little bit on it before, but it's just that you are not here by accident. Everybody has purpose. I'm going to give more than three. I can't help it.
Do it. Everybody, no, go for it.
You're not here by accident. You're not a mistake. You have purpose. There are plans for your life. And everyone has equal value in their life and their talents and their gifts and their abilities to touch and, in fact, change someone's life. And that everyone is made to motivate and inspire. Everyone.
I love it. Love it, Jen. Jen, what is your website and how can people connect with you? Where can they go?
Yep. JenBricker.com. Pretty simple. Instagram, Jen Bricker. Facebook, Jen Bricker. And that's it. Yeah. Everywhere is the same.
So you can awesome.
Find it anywhere. Yeah.
Guys, right now, go to Amazon, download her book. Is your book for sale on your website or do you want to go to Amazon? Go to the website.
Amazon website, doesn't matter.
Wherever you get your books, download it. I'm sure there's a different ways and ways to actually go through that book. You got an audio book, I'm sure, on that as well. Everything is possible. And everyone listening right now, go and get that book. Be inspired. Do you know someone who doubts that they have a bigger purpose? If that's not you, then think of someone else who needs to hear Jen's story. Maybe they've got self-esteem issues. They've got feeling like they're all alone and all the odds against them. No, bring them the beacon of light, the inspirational story, Jen Bricker. Love you so much. God bless you. And thank you so much for coming on this interview platform. Hey guys, thank you so much for listening. Help us reach as many people as possible by giving us a rating, a review, and subscribing to this podcast. Love you so much. And remember, share this with anyone you know who needs to hear this as well. I'll see you next week.